We've decided the best way for you to listen to this podcast is first part on a Tuesday, second part on a Wednesday, and then by Friday, it might all come together. This is the qualifying analysis.
Hello, and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We've got a little bit of news to update you with, but this is mainly going to be looking at the fairly substantial news, I would say, that's come out regarding the change to qualifying for 2026, a decision that may well be the worst in BTCC modern era.
I think so. So obviously we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago when the news first broke, where we looked about what might happen. And I think it's fair to say all the fears of what we thought might happen in that podcast have now come to pass.
We weren't keen at that point, and it's not got any better.
If anything, it's got worse.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I think this is honestly one of the worst things happened to the touring cars since the exodus at the end of the 1999 season, as we moved into the 2000s and the end of the Super Tourers. And that's not normally something I say, because I normally get quite angry and people say, oh, we need to go back to the 90s. But yeah, this has been terrible. But we will do a bit of news first of all, because there has been some actual team news for 2026 that's come out over the last couple of days. And it's not Jason Plato, who seems to have gone into hibernation mode, and maybe we'll hear from him probably as soon as we finish this podcast, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he did release an article as part of Autosport. So there's a good look into what the team is going to look like going forward into 2026. Some of the personnel that he's managed to pick and choose and snatch from other teams.
Particularly Alliance,
yes. That could make for an interesting acquisition for him as a team, and possibly will help their development going forwards. Now, there have been a couple of pictures released within those articles, and suggestions are that the car that they could be running for the 2026 season may well be a Mercedes A-Class.
Quite possibly. We don't know that for sure. What we do know for sure is that he is teaming up once again with RML, who he did the Chevrolets with back in the day. And RML have been in the sport on and off for a long period of time. And it's certainly a partnership that has borne fruit before. So I think it's great to have RML back in the sport.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure the last time they were in, off the top of my head. It might well have been the Chevys. Did they kind of continue after that? So it's good to have them back in the sport. Be interesting to see what they can bring together package-wise for Plato and his new team. One driver that was semi-linked with Plato is definitely not going to be there, because we've had that news announced today. But before we jump head to that, we need to take a step back to explain the team who we're driving for.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a mix-up on the grid going forward into 2026. Now, this season, 2025, we've had Laser Tools running with, obviously, Jake Hill in the BMW. And we knew, coming up to the end of the season, Jake Hill would be moving on to do more international racing. So then there were going to be question marks over, would MB Motorsport with Laser Tools carry on in the BMW for 2026? Would they do a two-car lineup? Would they look to move to possibly another team, another manufacturer, or even just another car outright? And we've got an answer.
We have.
Yeah, they've moved to a Toyota, which, if you look back at the 2025 season, seems absolutely bizarre.
It does. So obviously they have decided to team up with Speedworks and run two Toyota Corollas for next season. It looks as if that Toyota will be doing what they did in 24, which is having two Gazoo run car, or two Toyota run cars, and then two satellite cars like we had with LKQ with Cook and Moffat that year.
Hopefully that might focus them a little more.
No, it's Corollas.
That might focus them a little more for the 2026 season, because last year was certainly possibly their most barren season so far.
It also explains why I saw Ryan Taylor-Smith coming in and out of BMW trucks at Silverstone, which was quite interesting as well. Some questions that have been asked by some of the community on this is how long in the works has been. Did this influence Jake Hill's decision to leave? Did he not want to go to Toyota's? Yeah, it does raise some questions, but
is there something bigger going on behind the scenes at BMW?
Well, there's that as well,
because obviously they had a massive drop off in sponsorship for the WSR part of the team. They had to bring in the LKQ Eurocar parts with Moffat and Rainford last season. Are we seeing a mass exodus from BMW, and could they be at risk of not being a manufacturer team even?
I personally think that, and I've said this on social media, I think they're looking, and this is just my view, perhaps to be phasing themselves out of the touring cars and going into endurance and GT racing, particularly given that they've got two drivers in De Leon and Rainford that have made their interest in that discipline clear, shall we say.
Definitely.
I've been De Leon tried out for the Porsche I forget which discipline it was, but Callum Voisin has won that seat.
The Carrera scholarship scheme that they go through.
Callum Voisin has won that, and obviously Rainford said in our interview that
exactly
that's where he's
had, GTs is possibly the ultimate goal for him.
So we'll have to come back to that. What we do know, say, at the moment is that Corolla, Laser Tools and Speedworks all joined together, and we have one of the two drivers that have been announced today as well, and it is Aaron Taylor-Smith.
Yeah, it's obviously it's not really any move for him because he'll still be in the Corolla like he was last season. And once they had that M Sport engine bought into that unit, you could kind of see some of that competitiveness come back. In my mind, I think they're probably going to run that going forward into the 2026 season because of the success that they had at the end of that season.
It could be the oldest car on the grid, though.
It could well
be. Because there are some suggestions that Unlimited Motorsport might be changing the Cupra. We know PMR have had to change the Astra, and they're going to be running Audi. So I think that would make the Corolla the oldest car on the grid.
Yeah. It obviously depends on what Plato brings for his team. And whether the rumours that are going through the mill at the moment are that possibly Unlimited have been offered the Napa Ford Focuses. And then there are further rumours on from that as to what Napa will be running. But we won't get too deep into that because they're fairly shallow rumours at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously also depends whether One Motorsport return to the grid next season, what car they are running. But yeah, I think it makes sense from Aaron Taylor-Smith's point of view to stay where he is. Obviously, he can't go back to PMR's Astra because they no longer exist. He had a difficult season, this 2025 season. However, you know, sometimes, and I've said it before with Toyota, keeping a little bit of calm, a little bit of stability helps your team grow. Look at Virtue, look at Napa.
I think Aaron himself really understands the need to stay within a team for 2, 3, 4 seasons.
Develop the
because
car.
We saw how he grew into that Astra and he gradually got stronger and stronger and stronger because you're able to finesse these little details that you need to get up to the front end of a really competitive grid.
What will be interesting on that is whether he can have a real crack at the title in this car. So obviously Laser Tools have won a Drivers' Championship with Jake Hill. They're not a they're not a silly outfit by any stretch of the imagination. We know the Corolla towards the end of the season in particular was fast. Cook and Sheffield are getting some real joy out of the car towards the end of the season. Okay, not so much Taylor Smith, but it's difficult when you've had a season of a difficult season with a really poor car beneath you, then suddenly it all switches on. You've got to unlearn a lot of habits that you've learned to drive around the car's problems. And sometimes
you've got to stop it braking as well, which he had big issues.
But there is that as well. So we'll have to see how that one pans out for 2026.
Yeah, and from my understanding, it looks like because they're going to be a satellite team, they'll be running in possibly an independent outfit, possibly going for that independence title as well.
Right, shall we get on to the In our opinion, the worst thing to happen to touring cars in a very, very long time. And to be clear, that includes the hybrids here. No, it's gone again. This involves the ballast. This involves the reverse grids. This includes allowing an Integra tank into the championship.
First of all, I must thank you for all of your comments on social media about this news when it was released. We put it out there. If you're not already subscribed, go and subscribe there because we've had some brilliant discussions between all our followers and ourselves.
Particularly is Facebook, which is where it's gone. That. And we do try, and I think I have managed to respond to everybody's comments, but I promise you we read them all and we do try and respond to you all as well, unless you're being silly.
And if you haven't already, let us know down in the comments your thoughts about this and go and read up further on it because there's plenty about it on the British Touring Car website.
It's been overwhelmingly negative is what I will say.
Yeah.
And actually, it's been overwhelmingly negative everywhere I've seen it. So I also had a quick look on the official Touring Car page to what the comments were there as well. And there's a lot of negativity there too. There's been a lot of negativity on Twitter, X, whatever Elon's calling it these days. let's get into it. I'll give you a very quick overview of what because there's a lot here to take in.
There is.
It's very complicated. It's needlessly complicated. And I sent it to my partner who just replied back, why do they have to make it so difficult? And it is difficult.
Are we reverting back to that Top Gear meme?
Yes.
Of the Rallycross.
1 + 1 = 3. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. So I'll give a quick overview. We'll then discuss it. And then I'll try and give some positivity. And then I'll explain why the positivity is wrong.
Yeah. I'll try and put this up on screen at the same time as well.
Okay. So we'll have 1 40-minute free practice session to take place at approximately 10:30. This is all on a Saturday, by the way.
Approximately. How can they be that accurate for each round?
It depends on the other qualies and whatnot. The official qualifying session is set to take place at approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon, split into two qualifying groups of 15 minutes each. The group that includes the fastest set lap time overall will set the odd numbers of the grid for the qualifying race, so 1, 3, 5, 7, etc., etc. And the other group will take the even numbers.
So kind of what we've seen with free practice 2 this season and how it would set up the first two qualifying sessions.
But if you set the second, the way I read that is if you set the second fastest lap, you'll start third because you're taking the odd numbers. I'll read that again. The group that includes the fastest set lap time overall will set the odd numbers of the grid for qualifying, and the other group will take the even numbers. If you're second overall, you'll take third.
No, so it splits the grid as you would at the moment. So the session that has the fastest time overall will start first.
Yeah.
The second fastest in that session.
So
it splits it odd and even, basically.
I see, because you've got the other sessions. Okay, that makes sense. Gotcha. See, we're only into bullet point 3, and there's already confusion. Okay. There'll then be a 10-minute gap between the end of the official qualifying session and pit lane opening for the qualifying race.
Plenty of time if you've had an issue.
There is no suggestion at the moment that park fermé will be lifted, so I'm assuming that all the cars will be in park fermé condition.
Yep.
Meaning that they cannot make any substantial change to aero or anything like that.
They can basically change some tyres, and that's pretty much it.
Or like for like, with the Toker steward leaning over and ticking things off on a spreadsheet. Qualifying race distance to be approximately 15 minutes in duration, set in advance to the nearest lap count at each particular circuit, because so some circuits are longer than others.
That's about 6 laps at Snetterton then.
5 really, isn't it? It's not clear if we're doing warm-up laps and stuff like that. No option tyres permitted to be used in the qualifying race. Only that event standard dry slick tyre and or wet tyre may be used throughout the official qualifying session.
Okay, that's fairly standard.
Yeah. Throughout the official qualifying session and subsequent race, and I'm going to call it sprint race for clarity because it's just easier than getting mixed up with Sunday races, each car will have the permitted Toker Turbo Boost, TTB, available as per championship order. So as the season goes on, the sprint gets even more pointless if you are in a championship position because you're just going to fall back through the grid.
Yes.
Half points from a championship round to be awarded as per the finishing order of the qualifying race, rounded up to the nearest whole point where applicable.
I must say, this is the most bizarre part of it for me.
Yeah, so first gets 10, so it's roughly half, though it's slightly less than half.
We'll put them up here.
Yeah, first gets 10, 2, 9, 3, 8, 4, 7, 5, 6, 6, 5, 7, 5, 8, 4, 9, 4.
That is where my issue comes in. The fact that you can have a difference in position but no difference in points makes both positions almost worthless.
10, 3, 11, 3, 12, 2, 13, 2, 14, 1, 15, 1. So we're still doing 1 to 15.
Yes.
Yep. No manufacturers, constructors, teams, independent drivers, independence teams, or Jack Sears trophy points will be scored in the sprint.
Good, that would just make it more confusing.
Which I do agree with. No extra point will be awarded for the leading qualifying race or fastest lap. No extra point will be awarded for securing pole position for the sprint.
No extra point.
Because at the minute, if you took pole, you get a point. Okay. So if you take pole in the sprint, you don't get another point.
But if you win the sprint, you've effectively taken pole for the Sunday. Yes, so you get a point for that.
Yes, sorry.
Then you have to take, obviously, your pole position.
I don't think you get a point for pole. I think point for a pole is gone, is how I'm reading that. Completely.
Oh, okay.
Is how I'm reading that. That's how I read it. I could be wrong. Then the final classification of each qualifying sprint on Saturday will determine the grid positions for Sunday's opening race.
Okay.
So this is honestly, I'm lost for words. Didn't F1 try this for the first season and decide unequivocally this is stupid and change it?
They changed it, or they tried it for, I think, 2 or 3 rounds. And then because of the uproar that they had through social media and the fans
and drivers,
they went back and changed it. I think they also had the rule where once the timer gets to zero in the session, if you're on a lap, that doesn't count anymore.
They also
they changed quite quickly.
They also had to park firmer, so change those. You can change setup from the sprint race to the main race.
Yes.
I have to say, I still don't like sprint races in F1 because I think they are gimmicky, but I think how they've got it now is the best it can possibly work. Is how it doesn't affect the Sunday too much.
But it also works more for F1 because you've only got one main race.
There is
on
that as well, yeah. There is that as well. And it does take away a little bit of the... To be honest, there is no strategy in F1 anymore because they're all one-stop races. But without having a pit stop, you get a bit of hard racing on the circuit without having the strategy, so it's down to pure pace. I don't like it, but it works the best I think it can.
What I also must say is that we're comparing this to F1 because it's the most sport that another motorsport that we both watch, we both enjoy. The sprint weekends, you do get a slightly more shaken up grid because you only have that one practice session. So people can't dial their cars in absolutely perfectly to nip a pole position by a thousandth of a second.
Or monitor skid plate wear or something like that.
But I don't think we're going to see that as much in touring cars because, yes, we've seen drivers get the setups wrong, but they can change them between the races so they can get back onto a setup that they are more preferred to have. Having just that one session at the start of the weekend, I don't think is going to shake up the qualifying race, sprint race, that much.
No, I completely agree. I look at it and think, why would anybody in a championship battle make a risk of an overtake in the sprint race? So people have said,
especially if it doesn't gain you a point.
Well, there is that as well. Yeah. Some people have said, oh, this will make Saturday more interesting. We want to see more racing. Yeah, I get that. But if you're Sutton and you're in a championship battle with Ingram, are you really going to chuck it on the line for fourth and when you can just start fifth? Yeah. No. The only people that are going to benefit is people who've got nothing to lose, and they tend to crash into people.
Generally, that's by a rule of thumb, yes.
So you could have your... I know at the minute, this is the argument that's been chucked back at me, is that, well, this could happen on the Sunday. Fine. But you can be doing nothing wrong in the sprint race. You can be having a race, and then suddenly a wild Osborne appears across the grass because he's been tabbed or something like that.
Sound like Pokemon.
Smashed into the back of you, you're out, and now you're now starting from the back of the grid on Sunday.
It doesn't even have to be another driver. It could just be a car failure.
I don't mind that so much because that can happen in qualifying anyway.
It could, but if we're effectively putting the stresses on these vehicles, putting them through their paces more and more, having more competitive sessions where they have to run at their full optimum capacity, we're going to see more breakages, we're going to see more breakdowns, we're going to see possibly even more punches and bits and pieces like that.
Well, added to that point as well is the cost implication. Now, I'm not just picking on Dan Lloyd because it's easy, but he is a driver that has been open about the struggles he has in getting budgets together. Crash budgets take you factor in a certain level of crash, but you're going to now have to raise that because you've now got 10 extra races. I know something can go wrong in qualifying. You can have a tire blow, the engine catch fire, but that's just, it's not on you, but that's just bad luck in that way. Whereas on this scenario, you're now saying to the drivers, if there's 10 times more chance you'll get wiped out in an incident, it's not your fault on the Saturday. We could see cars written off on the Saturday, don't get out on the Sunday. Now, again, that can happen in normal qualifying, but it very rarely does.
Yeah, you very rarely see that competitive edge causing collisions during a qualifying session or big failures during a qualifying session. When you've got door-to-door racing, there can be casualties. There can be bits broken off that can't be replaced and fixed, and that could really hamper the rest of your weekend. Now, we're not trying to do down the fact of, yes, we're going to get more racing. We think that the
quality is going to be so poor.
Yeah, and the system that's been put in place, one in the first instance, didn't need changing.
No, I really think they got it nailed this year. For the first time in a long time, I thought they really got qualifying nailed. The three sessions were perfect. It made Saturday exciting.
The qualifying has no issue at all from this season. If you're going to change anything and you want to listen to the fans, take in their views and be able to respond to them and give them something to talk about in a positive way, then look at shaking up the races and how they're evolving on the Sunday.
Because my biggest complaint, and long-time listeners will always know this, is that race two I hate as a setup. Yeah. And you're right. Shaking up race one makes no difference to race two.
Can I put something out there? I was thinking about this in the shower the other day. To change up the race weekend on a Sunday only, could we look at possibly a big shake-up for race one and have a reverse championship order and then have a qualifying from the Saturday, set the order for race two?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. I think there's so many other ways to do this. I don't necessarily hate the idea of having a sprint and feature race, but then you'd have to go down to having two races.
Yep.
One sprint and one double distance or something like that.
I was going to say, unless you have two longer races and one short race on Sunday.
I don't hate that. What this feels to me is that we haven't managed to find a proper stopgap for the support races because we haven't got a junior program ready and we're not going to have it ready till at least 27.
Because we can't price people into the right price bracket to attract the amount of attention we need to then run a championship.
We're also charging so much money to have support packages just beyond the grid for rounds here and there. I think somebody did ask somebody in the Legends to why they're not on the grid. And their response was that they just want too much money. Yeah. And it, a championship that is effectively, and no disrespect because we love the Legends, is a clubman championship.
It's got to balance the amount that you pay to be on the grid for a weekend for having all that viewership compared to the amount of people that you then go, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a go at that, basically. Yeah.
Or I'm going to turn up.
Plough their money into being within that championship.
Yep. So it feels to me as a massive stopgap filler, which I don't like either. There's also some talks of ITV maybe selling the rights to Sky, and this does maybe feel a little bit of, oh, can we F1-ify this in the way that Sky... I think Sky have done a good job of F1 overall, but I think if touring cars went behind a paywall, that would be the death of the sport. I really do. I don't see enough people paying for Sky who don't already have it to watch touring cars. I just don't see that happening. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, but I don't see that being a good thing if we go down that road. And then I will read a positive. Somebody did put a positive comment. So let me just get that up just to try and balance things out because I know we've been a little bit negative.
The thing is, the vast majority of people have been outwardly negative. And I do wonder whether that outwardly negative comments, feedback and stuff like that will actually cause...
Almost certainly not.
The touring car chiefs to have a look at it. And possibly even change it like we've seen in F1.
With all due respect to yourself and the person running it, I don't think he gives a flying what people think. I think Liberty Media and F1 care a lot more about what fans think, a lot more what stakeholders and Netflix think, and are willing to have those conversations.
Yep.
The impression I get, and I could be completely wrong, and it's just an opinion, but the impression I get is that it's run with what they think is best and they're happy. They'll almost like the England cricket team, they'll double down on what they're doing as being the right thing, even if there's lots of resistance to it. So somebody who has put a little bit of positive slant on it is that more people are watching the cars on the Saturday. Well, yes, assuming it's on normal telly, because that's a big failing at the minute, is that it's not. It's on YouTube. And a lot of people don't know where qualifying is. The amount of times you see on a weekend on Facebook, where can I watch the qualifying?
Yeah. One thing I would say against that, if they're looking to have more viewers at the track, it does push that price up.
It will do.
A consumer coming in for the whole weekend.
Absolutely, because you've then got to find a place to stay and initially locally, or you risk the camping and you pay a lot for a weekend ticket. More time for the sponsors. Yeah, okay, I get that. But they would have had time during qualifying as well. I don't necessarily buy that argument because...
Are you going to actually see sponsors go, oh yeah, I'll chip in a little bit more money because we're getting that on the Saturday? I doubt it.
This is a fair point to a degree. In the long and short of it, there is no actual extra track time because the qualifying is shorter and there'd be less free practice. Therefore, there'll be the same amount of mechanical wear and stuff like that. I agree to a point, but obviously, practice, you're not racing, so you're not like to get barged into anybody and you're not putting it all on the line. But I do get the point. I think one of the other points I have against it as well is that I think there's a real skill to qualifying. I think that
one lap pace.
I think you, again, I'm going to bring in F1. I think that there are drivers in the F1 that have such good one lap pace compared to their race pace. Charles Leclerc always comes to mind as one that I think is so quick over a lap.
We saw it this season from Daryl De Leon. Taking those two poles at Silverstone and at Brands, we can see his one lap pace. He was there or thereabouts at Knockhill as well when BMW were really strong, and towards the end, at start of the season at Brands Hatch. But that didn't necessarily transfer into race pace.
And even sometimes it does transfer into race pace. If I was to say to you Tom Ingram's first title, one of the first things you'll talk to me about and vice versa is that qualifying lap he did at Brands Full to get it on pole in the first place. It was one of the laps, the best laps I've ever seen.
And dare I say, are we going to now miss out on things like that?
Yeah, why would you? Because if you...
If they're not going to show this qualifying session and where the two 15-minute sessions go out.
But why would you put it all on the line in the sprint quali when you know that, okay, even if I finish two spaces down, I'll just make those up in the race? It's not the same as it was in the proper race on the Sunday.
I'd be interested to see how the records will change with a qualifying lap record, whether it's whoever leads at the end of the qualifying race or whether it's who puts in the fastest lap in the qualifying sessions.
Yeah, well, sprint races count as race wins.
Exactly.
They don't in F1, do they? They don't count as a race. They don't count on your
stats,
do they? No, because Oscar Piastri didn't have a win to his name until he took a full. Yeah.
There's lots of changes afoot, and they may not necessarily all be in the right direction. Please do let us know down below, because we'd be interested to hear your views. Share those views on social media. Please have a sensible discussion about it.
I have to say, so far, everybody has been respectful.
Yes.
I don't see the point. No, that's what I'm struggling. There is so much you could change about touring cars. There is so much that I think you could argue is wrong about the sport.
Yep.
And it's difficult because, you know, you and I have watched this series practically since we were born, more or less.
Quite a long while.
And I love this sport, but sometimes it is such a hard sport to love because
it almost feels at times like it gets left behind.
Yeah. It feels like it's always trying to scrabble to be the next, like to have this next great idea, but it's always, like you say, it's just behind. Like,
yeah.
You know, F1 have done this, and I know they're in a different position financially and in the market, etc. They've tried this, and it's, the jury's out to if it works or not. The sprint tracks they've picked next year are bizarre. I mean, Singapore sprint.
I know.
So, you know, but I just don't understand why they've looked at this thing to change when there's so much more they could change on the Sunday as it is.
Yeah, I can kind of see why F1 want to shake it up with the sprint tracks, especially when they have only those six throughout the whole season. It doesn't actually take up that many of the races.
No, but not going to Brazil is nonsense.
I know. But yeah, having this come in as a hard, fast set rule for 2026 for every single round, we may come to the end of 2026 and go, yeah, it was brilliant. Like we did with the hybrid a couple of seasons ago when it really worked and it really worked well. But standing
and
here
at that
now,
point, they'll get rid of it.
Standing here now, I very much doubt it.
Yeah, I do. And this is the other problem as well. I make a little bit of a flippant joke there of the hybrid. These things seem to come and go in British touring cars. Obviously, the hybrid is the next big thing, and the whole world, motorsport world, dropped it. And then a year later, touring cars did as well. Again, a bit left behind. Now I've got the push to pass. Will that still be a thing in a couple of years' time? I don't know. They're still looking.
Will it still be a thing next year?
They're still looking at sort of alternative fuels, and that's all very good. But will they keep the TTB? I think it's madness that in the sprint they're going to keep the TTB rules in place as well. Because how are you going to make any progress in the sprint? What's the point? I don't understand it. There's so much that, I know that as a species we hate change, and I completely get that.
Some more than others.
However, when the qualifying change was announced for this season, I think that we and the most of the world of touring car world is fairly positive about it.
Yep.
And any negativities that I did have at the end of the season, I stood back and said, "Yeah, this has worked. This is brilliant. Yeah. What a great
and
initiative."
Also, we saw the sprinkled adjustment to it, where we had it brought in for a couple of sessions throughout the year, and we thought, hang on, this is kind of working.
Yeah, we want more of this.
Whereas, why can't you do that for this? Say, take 3 weekends out of the season and go, right, we're going to have it in sprint format and see whether it works.
See the appetites there from...
It just feels like they've jumped in with 2 feet and they could well end up on their face.
And let's not forget as well, and I don't want to keep ranting and raving for hours and hours on this, but like they kind of backed themselves into the corner of the tyres this year, which nobody liked. Everyone's been calling it out from day one, but it got to the point where, and we mentioned it throughout the season, drivers saying there's no point finishing here, there's no point doing that, the weekend's over, this race is a pointless one, but we might start on pole, but we're on the wrong tire, so if we get 15th we'll be happy. And they backed themselves into a corner about that, so they couldn't change it during the season. If this doesn't work, and let's be honest, we've got a hit and miss record whether things work or not, I don't see how they can now change it halfway through and go, no, we're going to drop it for the second half of the season. I think once you,
especially when it has an impact on the championship.
Exactly. And that was the problem with the tyres.
Yeah.
So, like you say, surely the better way of doing it was to go, okay, Silverstone makes sense because it's Silverstone.
Yep.
Do it there. We'll do it at Croft and maybe Knockhill. Those three, we're going to put sprint races or whatever on, and we'll see how it goes. You then got short track, Silverstone track, and Croft. So you've got long, short, and the home of motorsport.
Yep.
Do those three, see how it works, bring it in for the next year. If the whole fans go, yeah, I like that, let's get more of that. Let's have some more of that. Yeah, I don't know
based
what to say.
Fan feedback, we'll see. as I've already said, let us know your thoughts down below. We'll try and keep you up to date with all the news stories that come as they come through the off-season going into 2026. We're currently working in the background on our awards show as well, so you'll be seeing that coming out around possibly even on Christmas Day. But yeah, until we get some more breaking news or something else to rant about,
there's always TCR.
We'll be back again soon.
Until we speak again.
Bye-bye.